Anyone who is familiar with the treatise on true devotion to the Blessed Virgin knows that its author, St. Louis Grignon de Montfort, therein conducts a lengthy exegesis on the narrative in Genesis that involves the blessing of Isaac of his son Jacob in place of his firstborn Esau by an apparent ruse of Jacob, who was put up to it by his mother Rebekah. Now, Scripture does not condone sin, but there are many passages in Scripture that are in this regard difficult for us to understand fully, because on the surface, sin does seem to be condoned. And yet, in these very same passages, these events are reported, though it is not necessarily to be taken in, or is not to be taken, that God condones sin. However, divine providence operates in such a way that the hand of God works in every situation where sin abounds and where sin does not abound. Moreover, these narratives that are contained in Scripture contain very often a much deeper mystery that requires a great deal of reflection and pondering to understand why it is that they are there in the first place and what we need to get out of them in order that we may live uprightly. Not that we may sin before God, but that we may profit from the Word of God for our salvation and the salvation of all souls. So St. Louis de Montfort, as we have said, conducts a lengthy exegesis of this passage of Genesis where Jacob receives the blessing, Jacob not being the firstborn, but Rebekah counseling Jacob to take the clothing of Esau and to be clothed with certain vestments, certain skins, so that Isaac, who in his old age could not see, would impart the blessing upon Jacob. And Rebekah is seen by St. Louis de Montfort also interpreting the long exegetical tradition with regard to this passage, sees in Rebekah a type of Mary, and in Jacob a type of the son of Mary, the son of God and the son of Mary, i.e. the adopted son of God. And Jacob simply does what Rebekah tells him to do. Esau is a type of those who are the sons of the enemy of God. And when we decide to become the son of Mary, then we will find that if we take her counsel, that against all odds, humanly speaking, we will receive the blessing of God. Now, God, of course, cannot be deceived. This we know as a basic catechetical truth. God cannot be deceived in the way that Isaac was deceived. But Isaac recognized the hand of God. He trembled when he realized what had happened, yet he saw the hand of God, God working through situations like this. God knows how to recognize his sons because he recognizes his mother. He recognizes what she does and accepts and blesses those whom she loves. Now, Mary does not deceive God, obviously, but Mary has crushed the head of the ancient serpent, so she knows how to guide her sons, her children, so that they will not be mastered by the evil one. And these sons of Mary become acceptable in the eyes of God because, as St. Louis de Montfort again says, she clothes them with her merits and the merits of her son. So not by their own merits does God recognize these wayward children of his, but because of the merits of his son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of his most holy mother, united to the merits of Jesus. And Mary counsels her sons and daughters in such wise that if they remain under her protection, under her guidance, then it is, as it were, impossible, if we may speak in this way, for God not to bless them, to give them the blessing of the firstborn. This is the importance, St. Louis de Montfort tells us, of becoming children of Mary, by submitting ourselves to her guidance, even though we, humanly speaking, might not be regarded as the firstborn. Humanly speaking, we are the frail. We're not the sleek, the powerful, the strong, because that's not whom God chooses. God chooses the refuse of the world in order that his power may shine. He confounds the wise of the world by the wisdom of the cross, by the wisdom of the mother of the one who offered up his life on the cross for us. Now, our Saint Louis de Montfort tells us that those who are children of Mary will always be protected by her, because she has definitively crushed the head of the ancient serpent. He also says, and this is important for us to ponder, he says it only in passing, but nonetheless it is clear. He says that the attacks of the evil one will intensify with time. So as we go forth in time, the attacks of the evil one, particularly directed toward the sons of Mary, will intensify. This is very important for us who propose to place ourselves under the patronage of Mary. Those of us who propose to consecrate ourselves to Our Lady, who have consecrated ourselves to Our Lady, who choose to make a vow of Marian consecration to Our Lady. We are fooling ourselves if we think, therefore, that we will be placed on easy street by Our Lady. And I think that a number of those who, not reflecting sufficiently on what Marian consecration is all about, hope just for that. They hope to be spared the trials that befall all men and women who live on the face of the earth. No one is spared such trials. But those who choose to place themselves in consecration to our Blessed Lady, they expose themselves to even greater trials, more intense trials, stranger trials. Why? Because the evil one hates our Blessed Lady in a particular way and hates her children in a particular way. This is borne out in Revelation chapter 12. Not to understand this, not to be prepared for this, is not to be prepared to live fully a life of consecration to Our Lady. So why should we do it? Why should we place ourselves at greater risk, so to speak? Because Our Lady always is victorious over the ancient serpent, over the devil. Those who choose not to acknowledge themselves as children of Mary have no such guarantee. The devil looks to draw everyone away from salvation. Children, those who acknowledge themselves to be true children of Mary, or no. Those who acknowledge themselves to be children of Mary, who consecrate themselves to Our Lady, yes, they will be subject to the ferocity of the attacks of the evil one, but they will always be protected by Our Lady. And against all odds, they will receive the blessing of God, just as Jacob received the blessing of Isaac. He ought not to have received the blessing, humanly speaking, but he did, because he followed precisely the instruction of his mother, and it was so devoted to her. The more devoted we are to Our Lady, the more that we truly live out our consecration to her, the less we have to fear, no matter what is going on around us. The whole world may be set against us, but it will not overcome us, because Jesus has overcome the world, and Mary together with Jesus. And the promise that she makes to those who give themselves in consecration to her is that they will share in this sort of triumph over the evil one. They will overcome. That's the true sort of overcoming. An overcoming that cannot be undone. And if the attacks of the evil one become more ferocious over time, then it is, again, our great saint remarks, that the glorious triumphs of our Blessed Lady will become ever more evident. She will secure ever more famous triumphs over evil precisely when it seems that evil is about to overcome everything. This is a very great consolation and a call to arms, both individually and collectively. It requires a great deal of vigilance on the part of those consecrated to her, a great deal of courage, a great deal of fighting, perhaps, to overcome discouragement at times. But Our Lady is ready to give all these gifts, i.e., to help us not to give into discouragement, to give us that courage, to give us the weapons that she did not give even in former times. What she wants to give now, when it seems like we are much more ill-prepared to overcome all of these attacks of the evil one. It seems like we're more vulnerable than ever, and yet it's precisely in the midst of this vulnerability that Our Lady wants to give us the strength. It's the hand of divine providence working, just as it did in Old Testament times, but even more apparent now, even more famous now, even more striking, more dramatic now. Now is the time that God wants to work these projects, not sometime else, not sometime in the past, but now, in the midst of things the way they are right now. I can wish that I lived in another time of the church when it didn't seem like everything was in such confusion, that there was not so much strife going on. But God didn't choose for me to live in the world in according to what is in my imagination, in my mind, or according to how I think it would be comfortable, quote unquote, in order to get to heaven. He chose this time and this place, and he knew what he was doing, what he was choosing, when he chose to place me in this situation. And we ought to give thanks on our knees to the Lord for placing us in this time and in this place with the opportunity to become children of Mary like no one before us has ever been able to become. This is what has been given to us. This is the gift that is given to us right now. And God is never sorry for the gifts that he hands out to us. He never changes his mind. It is we who choose to accept or reject. And I repeat, he will give us that courage through our Blessed Lady to score those famous victories now. It's a call to the sort of confidence and trust in Our Lady that few were ever called to in times past. But Our Lady wants to give it en masse in the present day, en masse. Not just to one or two, but to many, so that many will be raised up to be great saints. Just as St. Maximilian strove to do in the Neapolitanov with 700 plus friars in the 1930s. And how many of those do you suppose became great saints? We'll find out in the life to come. I reckon quite a few. Those, however, who persevered, even when all seemed lost after the first dispersion, when the Nazis first came, because not all returned after the first dispersion. But those who understood, who were able to, of course, those who understood that Our Lady triumphs in every situation, those who clung to her, I reckon, are counted among the blessed and the saints. Let us strive to be counted among them as well, and not to be discouraged, not to give in to fear, not to be frightened at the attacks, the ever-growing intensity of the attacks of the evil one, but to realize that Our Lady keeps her promises to those who choose to persevere in their life of consecration to her. Praise be Jesus and Mary.